This podcast is sponsored by Premier Surgical Associates. We welcome general and vascular surgeon Dr. Randy Reiser to Premier Surgical. Dr. Reiser is seeing patients at Premier's offices at Turkey Creek Medical Center, Paper Mill Drive, and in Maryville.
This podcast of the Swain Event is brought to you by InsureFit RM. For all of your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call InsureFit RM at 865-684-4900.
B-Dry Waterproofing Hotline. Next segment, we will be joined by SEC Network's own Cole Kublik, who is the expert when it comes to offensive line play. Play offensive line there at Auburn. He is a I think he's one of the best in the business.
I in terms of X's and O's in covering the SEC, he is the best that our conference has, in my opinion. And I'm sure most people who know Cole Kublik and follow him on Twitter and have heard his stuff on Feinbaum, and he has a show in Birmingham, obviously. But he's very brutally honest. So when listening to the interview, just brace yourself, because I promise he will say something that is going to trigger you in terms of Tennessee football. And he's not going to be wrong, but as a Tennessee fan, we don't like to hear it. So I'm just warning you, just brace yourself.
Man, he keeps it real.
And he should.
You know, he keeps it real about his own squad. So these two programs, they have some stuff going on that is not ideal. What is this whole Big Orange Friday proclamation signed by Governor Haslam? I mean, this isn't cute.
So
this gonna help Tennessee win any games?
No.
I mean.
I don't care.
It seems like an initiative for Tennessee to sell its fans more stuff. that's as cynical as I can take it. I think it's cool. But at the same time, we have to be honest
fans
about what
wins.
Is going on here.
Fans won't win.
So here's
do that. Go make some laws that help Tennessee win. That's what Georgia did, man. That's what Alabama has. They have laws that help their football program be more successful. Let's do that. Let's create some laws that help Tennessee football. That's what I want to see from the law enforcement or lawmakers here in Tennessee.
Let's get a law where if you play high school football in the state of Tennessee, you cannot play college football outside of the state of Tennessee. Outside of the actual state university, actually.
Let's
narrow it down.
If you are a
four or five star.
Yeah.
You can't go outside of the state.
No, five star, because some of these four stars.
Oh, that's true, too.
Yeah. And, hey, we got some five stars from Tennessee that's not done anything either. But we'll just say five stars. Make a law where you can't leave the state if you're a five star. How about that? How about we do that?
You can't even visit other schools.
I thought that was a unwritten law anyways, that you have to wear orange on Friday.
Or Thursday.
So here's what this is the press release. Inspired by Knoxville area Vol fans this fall, Tennessee Governor Bill Haslam recently signed an official proclamation making Friday, October 19th, Big Orange Friday throughout the entire Volunteer State. Big Orange Friday is an initiative created to engage the community, residents, fans of Tennessee athletics and the university by wearing orange on Friday every week. Every Friday, fans who wear Tennessee orange will receive discounts at Knoxville area stores, restaurants, and service providers. Fans can visit BigOrangeFriday.com for more. So it's a community support tactic. Initially, I mean, when I read that, these receive discounts, it's to get people to go out and put money into the community as a part of this Big Orange Friday thing, which is not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing.
But like you're saying,
it's not a bad thing.
People don't want Big Orange Friday right now. While it is, it's not bad. They want Tennessee to win football games.
Yeah, I don't view it in a negative manner, because just because the football team isn't winning doesn't mean that we should stop doing our part as fans.
Yeah.
Like if it's something that we would do when the football team is winning, then why should we stop just because the football team is losing? Like our job as a fan is to do these kind of things whether the team is winning or losing. And I get it that it's frustrating and we're tired of pouring in all this effort and not getting anything in return, but at the end of the day, the fans don't influence whether the football team wins or not.
I think fans right to do whatever they want to do, to be honest. If they are investing their time, energy, money. They can do what they want. And I just think the fans have been asked to check your kneeling. They've been asked to travel to neutral site games. They've been asked to purchase season tickets. They've been asked to do this and do that. And they continue to do it, and they haven't got much in return. I think this proclamation is really good for local businesses, and I'm a huge fan of that because I am a business owner of myself. And so that's why I hate the neutral site games. I would rather be up for the home and home because that's an opportunity for local businesses to capitalize off another home game. So I understand the advantages that this will give local businesses. I'm all for that. The only thing that I have a problem with is that here's another thing we're asking fans to do without giving them anything in return. That's it. And I want to know what we're doing to help Tennessee football be great again.
It's been my perpetual...
That's what I want to know.
My perpetual complaint about Tennessee. They always got the handout, and then so rarely do they actually put their hand towards you with anything in it to give you. And, you know, obviously basketball is something, but that is not everything. And so I would say more than anything, what Tennessee should be giving Vol fans right now is a functional administration that would help everybody.
Yeah. What are you doing to help Jeremy Pruitt and Coach Fulmer be successful with the football program? Let me know that. That's what I want to know.
Maybe I'm just being
Don't try to distract me with all this stuff.
Maybe I'm being too open-minded with it. But yeah. I don't know. I just think like the people who generated this should be able to do both. Help Jeremy Pruitt and Phil Fulmer provide them with the necessary things to win, but then also continue to do these things whether you're winning or losing.
You can. You absolutely can. You can do it. But we have not shown that we can do it. And until you show that you can do it, you can't expect – you know, fans to just say, oh, okay, another promotion or another gimmick or, you know, another thing to do. Yeah, let me just jump in and be all for it as if we were winning. Right. I mean, that's a lot to ask for emotionally. It's a lot to ask for, you know, to say, hey, you know, it shouldn't matter if we're winning or losing whether or not you come to the game. Well, yeah, if you're losing and tickets are $200 a piece or $100 a piece, you're going to be like, wait a minute. The product does not point to me having to pay this amount of money. But if it's 2001 and Tennessee is rocking and rolling and beating everybody that they play, and the tickets are $100 or $200, you don't mind paying that because you're going to get back what you're given. I think that also matters.
Yeah, Tennessee, it seems like this season they've just sort of forgotten how economics work. You know, supply and demand. They are putting out a supply of something that costs more money than what people are willing to pay, and then it almost seems like they're surprised when folks don't show up.
Yeah.
Oh, what did we do? Oh, we made tickets $115 to a game where Tennessee's going to lose by 40? What? I don't get it. I can't be overly cynical about this, though, because at the end of the day, this is not to benefit just the university. It is to benefit the entire community as a whole, to benefit the businesses that are being partnered with here, you know, that are giving these discounts on quote unquote Big Orange Friday.
Cool.
You know, I think that that's never a bad thing. You know, I'm very much a keep it local. We have a ton of great local sponsors, and so at the end of the day, I like this. But yeah, Tennessee, stop putting your hand up. And because eventually everybody's just going to slap it away and say enough.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying is I'm all for it because, again, it helps local businesses. But what are we doing to help Pruitt and Coach Fulmer be more successful like other states and other schools have done in recent years? That's all I want to know. Let's go to the phones and let's get Nathan in here. Nathan, good morning.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Hey, good morning.
Yeah, I didn't catch the very beginning of this, but I did catch the part where you talked about ticket prices. You know, I had a good day. I went up, came up, watched the Florida game, got there about 9 o'clock, you know, did breakfast, the whole thing, shrimp ball, had some good drinks, great tailgate. took my wife and went in there and was just ready, really, to get fired up, and they just didn't give us anything to get fired up about, and just could not let the crowd get into it. And anyway, everybody knows how that went down. But, you know, I'm sitting next to a guy, you know, and I'm thinking, man, I dropped, you know, for us to do that, about $500 probably, $600. I might get to do that once or twice a year. I got kids and stuff and priorities I got to have, you know. But I'm sitting next to a guy, and I don't know what he's doing, but he just seems like this kind of average guy, you know. And he says, yeah, I got rid of my wife's season ticket because she said she couldn't come. And I said, where are you from? He said, oh, I'm from, you know, Middle Tennessee. I travel about 3 hours, and I'm here every week. Wow. And I'm thinking, I mean, I don't know what he does. Maybe he owns a small business. Maybe, I mean, I don't do bad for myself. I got my priorities with what I do with my money. So I guess some people just got priorities what they would do with their money. Mm-hmm. And I'm a big Tennessee fan, but I thought, you know, why are they, I mean, is it just not inconceivable that instead of $130 a ticket, they drop those things down to about $70 and let people be able to come take their family and enjoy the game and be able to cheer these kids on while we're terrible? You know, I mean, you know, bring, you know, get them back up to par once we're successful again, and once we're rolling again, and the product demands it. But, you know, I mean, I guess the market's going to do whatever it's going to do. And evidently, the open market's demanding that. But it just seems to me that, you know, with what we're putting out there right now, if they want to get 100,000 people packed in there, that's asking a lot.
Yeah, I think Nathan, and thanks for the phone call. I think when you have a budget and you're projecting these numbers that you're going to bring in, I mean, I think it'd be hard to just drop ticket prices across the board because now you're not meeting that budget. You still have expenses that you try to get things taken care of with. You still have a recruiting budget. You still have other things you try to do. And I think that's all part of it is those ticket sales. So I think they're going to continue to have it that number.
If you want to balance the budget, put a better football team on the football field.
I guess that's right.
You know,
we'll try to get a hold of Cole Kublik and have him on, talk a little bit about this game, the offensive line play in the trenches here in the Swain event.
Hour 3 of the Swain event is brought to you by the Low T Center and LowTCenter.com. Do you know your numbers? Feel like you again. Let us help.
Premier Surgical Associates is pleased to welcome Dr. Randy Reiser to its surgical practice. Dr. Reiser is board certified in general and vascular surgery and has treated patients in the Knox and Blount County areas for more than 20 years. Dr. Reiser is seeing patients at Premier Surgical's offices at Turkey Creek Medical Center, Paper Mill Drive, and in Maryville. For more information or to request an appointment with Dr. Reiser, please visit PremierSurgical.com right now.
Backed by popular demand, shop tax-free at Better Mattress during the month of October. Save hundreds of dollars store-wide. Better Mattress will pay your sales tax on any purchase. My Better Mattress has me sleeping better than ever, and it's handcrafted in East Tennessee, so I know it is made to last by good people who care about the quality of their work. Better Mattress makes it so easy to choose a mattress, you can get started right now. Visit bedrmattress.com and click on Mattress Prescription. Answer a few questions and they'll send you some options to start with. Plus, at Better Mattress, shoppers sleep worry-free. If you don't like it after 100 nights, they'll swap it out for you, and your Better Mattress will come with a 20-year warranty. Shop Better Mattress tax-free this month only. Good night, just got better.
At work, can call in? Don't feel bad. You can talk to the guys on the text box. It's part of the free Swain Event app.
We are joined by Cole Kublik, SEC Network, here in the Swain event. Cole, good morning, sir.
How you doing, Jason?
Man, fantastic, man. I know you're holding down the fort down there in Alabama. You are solo with the kiddos. I understand exactly what you're going through, my friend. So let's rock it this morning here on the Swain event. Again, man, you're doing an awesome job again, getting better and better and better. Before you know it, man, you're going to be like Boogie McFarland, man. If you keep on keeping on the way you're doing, man, you're going to be on Monday Night Football here soon.
I don't know about that, but I appreciate the kind words. It means a lot coming from you. Thank you.
Appreciate you, man. All right, so this this game between Tennessee-Auburn Alabama, will display the two best offensive lines in the league, right? Is that what we're going to see this Saturday?
Probably not. if you enjoy quality offensive line play, this is not your game. Just go watch another game. This one won't be for you. I think the difference is we kind of knew with Tennessee coming into the season that this would be something they'd have to work around. Outside of Trey Smith, they weren't going to have a lot of guys that were really going to be able to push you around and really going to be able to do some different things. I think with the Auburn offense, we also knew it wasn't going to be a strength, but they had so many pieces around it. Could they find a way to manage it and work around it and sort of build the offense separately from the downhill run game, which it's all been predicated on previously? And they haven't really found a way to do that. So the offensive line's not playing well. It's not all their fault. It's not only that group. I mean, it's a collective issue, just like some of the issues at Tennessee are collective. It's not just poor offensive line play. I mean, quarterback has to make the right read, has to make the throw. Running backs and tight ends have to work their blocks, have to pick up in protection. So everybody's got to be on the same page offensively, but it's been tough to watch. I think there have been some bright spots for both, but you know this is going to be a big game in my opinion as to, you know, Tennessee 2 weeks off. What have they built upon? What have they found that they can sort of continue to utilize moving forward to maybe be more successful? And it's a bounce back game for Auburn. It's going to be at home with fall break and a hurricane that just came through when students had the option to leave early, and it's a morning kick. So how much of an advantage are you going to have? And that's why I think it may be a little bit more of a dangerous game for Auburn than some people believe.
I think, too, that both teams are kind of dealing with this, and there's been reports from Brandon Marcello inside the Auburn locker room that points to this definitely happening at Auburn. It could be happening at Tennessee because you have a struggling offense, and the defense is actually out there making some plays and trying to get some stops. How do you avoid the finger-pointing with defense and offense? And there's been some reports of how maybe the defensive players are not big Jarrett Stidham fans. What is going on there?
Leadership is what you have to rely upon, and you know this. You played on teams with good leaders, but I've been on a similar team. 1998, we went 3-8 and had a top-10 defense. That doesn't even seem feasible, but it happened. And it's only human nature. A lot of those guys on defense didn't like us very much, and I understand. I get it. I'm not mad at them for it. We understood it. We were frustrated. So I think when you're that age and maybe you don't have enough leadership or the right leaders in place, and it starts at the top, that it's easy to sort of begin to look at somebody else and not take all the heat for yourself. 19, 20, 21-year-olds don't want to take a lot of the blame. I mean, that's just where we are. Mm-hmm. So you got to find guys that want to do that and then accept that hey, even though I'm playing well, I could be doing more. And so I think Auburn has a lot of those guys on defense. I don't know if they have a ton of them on offense. I mean, you had four senior starters on that offensive line last year. Now, granted, a couple of them were transfers and didn't spend their entire careers at Auburn, but they had played a ton of football, and they had played a ton of football together. So I think that it's just going to be finding leadership in the locker room, and finding guys who can go out and help everybody else find their own way.
How does the Auburn crowd, adjust to that morning kick? Because I remember in 2002, I went to the Auburn-Florida game where it was absolutely unreal. It was a night game. It got to me as a recruit. It was an unbelievable atmosphere. How does the Auburn fans adjust to the morning kick there?
It's a good question because, like I mentioned, it's fall break, which is something you and I didn't really – that's not in our vocabulary, but now kids need more breaks than ever, apparently, from school. And with this hurricane thing, the school announced that I believe they announced that kids could go home 24 hours early. So, I mean, how many students are even going to be on campus? I think is the first question. And then obviously, being a morning kick, some Auburn fans are a little frustrated with the way the offense has looked. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be an atmosphere that the team can just rely on. That's why I keep going back to, this is just not a game that Auburn can sleepwalk through. This is not a game that Auburn can just show up and say, hey, we've got better athletes, and just go out there and play ball. We'll find a way to win. I just don't believe that. I believe Tennessee's got a few things that are beginning to work. They had 2 weeks to prepare. And if Auburn doesn't play a good football game, they could be in trouble.
Much has been made of Auburn's front seven and what they've been able to do for that defense. But where does the secondary stand going into this game and matching up against Jerry Garantano?
Secondary's played pretty good ball. I know people want to probably point at the LSU game and say, oh, you know, they had the pass interference calls, but they're not out of position very much. You haven't seen a lot of blown coverages. They're pretty good in run support. So I'm not down on the secondary at all. I think they played good football. Are they on the level of the defensive line and the linebackers? No, probably not. But I think they played good enough ball to give Auburn a chance to win every game they've been in. So when you go back to that LSU game, I think they threw 38 passes in that game, and Kevin Steele told us that they lost 4 plays on that game. I mean, the secondary had minuses in 4 plays. So, I mean, it just shows you in this league kind of how close you are to one or two plays to get you beat. But I think they played above-average football, pretty good football. They're not one of the best secondaries in college football, but I think they played fine.
Last question, Cole, because I know you're being super dad right now, man. I really appreciate you fighting through to join us. Who's going to be the offensive coordinator?
Just dumped all the dog food and the dog water out here.
Oh, what happened?
So we're good.
He
when I'm on the phone, he runs to the dog food. And so he came in here and dumped all the dog food in the dog's water. So that's good.
Oh, yeah, kind of like Rice Krispies, you know, Rice Krispies and, you know, like a cereal, right?
Yeah, I guess. That's, I don't know.
Just softening it up for the dog.
He's like, Dad is distracted. Let's go. Dad is distracted. Time to wreck stuff. He can't do anything because he's on the phone. All right, so who is going to be calling plays this weekend, man? Is it going to be Chip Lindsey? Is it going to be Gus Malzahn? What's the dynamic there with the staff, with the offensive coordinator? This is not the first time Gus Malzahn has went through this with Rhett Lashley. What is going on there with the OC and the head coach? Who's going to be calling plays?
That's a good question. I don't know exactly how it's being managed right now, but my assumption would be that they'll both have a hand in it, just based on what I've seen, based on the design, based on the play calling, based on what I know from previous years. I would say that they'll both have a hand in it somehow, some way.
Well, Cole, appreciate you, man, being super dad, joining us here on the show, and thanks so much for your time, man. You have a mess to clean up, so I'll let you go get to it.
Thanks for having me,
Swing. All right, see you, man. Cole Kublik, SEC Network, being super dad right now. 2 youngsters under 3 years old. I think they're both under 3. And Cole has his daughter and his son. So, son, noticed that Cole was occupied on the phone. Perfect time to start wreaking some havoc, right?
And Cole's son is named Judge, which is a beautiful name.
Unless he finds a baby in his daycare that is a Red Sox fan.
Right. But it's funny because I used to listen to Cole's show when he was in Huntsville all the time. And Arky Shea, who's on the show with Cole, would always mess with him about naming his kid after Aaron Judge, which he didn't actually name his son after Aaron Judge, but that was when Aaron Judge was kind of bursting onto the scene, and yeah. Cole's a Yankees fan, so it was always funny to hear the listeners give him crap about
Cole's a Yankees fan too.
He named his son after Judge Judy, right?
Yes,
that's
yes.
The actual story. Yeah.
Have you ever had something like that happen when you've been a guest on the show? One of your kiddos doing something crazy? Not crazy, but making a mess.
I remember one time I was driving and I had to do a spot like Cole had to do just a minute ago, and we got caught like in the car, the whole entire family. So I jumped out of the car in a parking lot and they stayed in the car. I just walked around the parking lot doing my interview. That was one time. Another time I had all 3 kids by myself and we were in the car and I had to do the same thing. I had to jump out of the car, turn on the DVD player, and my oldest did a really good job of kind of keeping everyone settled, and I had to do the interview outside the car. I don't think I've ever had a situation like Cole, because We have a 10-year-old, so our 10-year-old does a really good job of helping. And so I can kind of escape. If I'm in the house, I go upstairs or I go downstairs or go outside or whatever. But Cole's in a tough spot because he has two under the age of three.
Right.
And he can't tell the 2-year-old, hey, watch your little brother. I got to do an interview. You can't do that. Maybe if the oldest was like 8, maybe mm-hmm. 6, 7, something like that, maybe. But, no, that's tough. And Cole was covered up a lot this week, and we were able to get him in today. He's super busy, man. He's blowing up. He's doing a great job. And it's cool to see where he is now. I remember years and years and years ago, really before he got on TV, he had a clothing store in Huntsville.
Mm-hmm.
And
him and his wife, right?
Yeah, he had a clothing store in Huntsville. And I still have actually some of the stuff that I bought from him at his store because I wanted to support another athlete who was doing something else besides playing ball. So, man, I bought a shirt and some shoes from him.
What kind of clothes was it?
I mean, it was like a jean type of shop. It had nice jeans and t-shirts,
like
shirts, and
New York and Company, like women's office wear, I think.
No, it was dude clothes. It was dude clothes.
I've never seen it. I didn't even know that you did that. That's cool.
I'm trying to think of how I can, I guess, compare it.
What about an Urban Outfitters?
Yeah, something like that. But it was smaller. Real nice jeans and high quality shirts, t-shirts, stuff like that. And so to see Cole grow and grow and grow, man, it's been pretty cool. So a big fan of his. He does a great job and he puts in the work. He puts in the work, man. He outworks most folks in the business.
He's one that if I see him say something good about or bad, either or, about a Tennessee player, usually he'll watch a game and tweet out clips of the game of himself watching it, and he'll make comments on it. He is someone whose comments I take very seriously. I'll always stop and be like, oh, Cole said something about Tennessee. I got to see what he said. He is a top notch analyst. Glad that he's having success. They need to keep moving him up.
I'll plug Stokes' podcast that is coming out at 10 a.m. after the show is over. Mm-hmm. He had Cole Kublik on for an interview, so if you want to hear a little bit more of Cole, check out Seth Stokes' podcast, Stoke in the Fire.
Stoke in the Fire.
So,
man, Stokes big time, man. He gets Cole extended time, no kids in the background. Probably got him at his best, and Cole was great just a minute ago, so don't get me wrong, but man, Stokes is big time. Bears Salee, he had on Bryce and
Jason Swain.
No, man, Cole Kublik, man, Stokes is the man. So
Wes Rucker,
yeah, Wes Rucker, yeah, absolutely, man. I put Wes up there. Wes is a professional, man. He does a great job too.
I saw Wes at the mall yesterday. It was weird.
Oh yeah, seeing Wes anywhere is weird. All right, let's get to who we got there.
Neyland Mafia,
my man. Good morning.
Hey guys, good morning.
Good morning.
I've actually got a topic today. It's about scheduling. I was looking at my local paper, and I noticed that in high school, if you have a really good year, you have, outside of your district, you have some control over who else you schedule. And if you have a really good year, then the really bad teams aren't going to want to play, you know, the year after that. So you do have a little bit of control over your schedule. Outside of the district, the NFL has a graduated kind of thing where if you win the Super Bowl, then in theory, next year you play the most difficult schedule, mm-hmm. you know, and so on and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about the SEC is a lot of the teams never play each other. It just doesn't work out that way. Cross-divisional opponents, all that kind of thing, it just doesn't. People get locked into these long-term rivalries or long-term games, and that leaves you one game to flip on the equivalent of every 7 or 8 years. And in all honesty, I think it's kind of stale. I think the ship has sailed on that. So here's a theory or just a notion I've got, and let me know what you guys think of it. If you win the West and the East, then the next year your out-of-conference opponent is the same team. One at home and one away. If you come in second or third in the West, then your opponents, home and away, are the second and third team in the East. Fourth and fifth is the same. Sixth and seventh is the same. So in theory, if, say, an Ole Miss came in fifth, or better yet, sixth, then they would play the two weakest teams for their out-of-conference rivals the next year. And if they were able to win four games in conference, that gives them a 6-2 record. And it doesn't make, once you get in a hole, it doesn't make climbing out of it so hard. It's not a competitive disadvantage. It's kind of fixing an imbalance. It's like in the SEC, if you ever get poor, you tend to stay poor. And football, both on the high school level and on the NFL, doesn't do that. They schedule it in such a way where that, yes, you can start building something. Success can breed success and all that kind of thing.
I see what you're saying. It's kind of like, you know, the worst NFL team has the number one overall pick, and or like in NBA, the worst team, you know, you have the best odds of winning the lottery. So if you lose a lot of games in SEC, you know, you just have a lighter in-conference schedule.
Well, yes, you have a lighter in-conference schedule by virtue of playing the weakest teams for your cross-division rivals. And in addition, that would kind of shake up a lot of stuff. That would put, say, Texas A&M playing a Florida and then maybe a South Carolina instead of Texas A&M playing a Vanderbilt, you know. And if you look at it, that really – I mean, some of those 2-3 games for the next year, man, we watch them all day long.
Now,
sometimes it works out where you have a Georgia playing an LSU, but – I mean, Georgia never plays a Texas A&M. You know, it's weird. The kind of the system we're locked into. New rivalries never get a chance to shine. You know, it's just always the same.
No, I really like that idea. But in that scenario, you'd probably be getting rid of Tennessee, Alabama every single year. And I know at this point we may be okay with that. But if Tennessee was back to where it would be and Alabama maybe calms down a little bit, would you be okay with getting rid of that rivalry?
You know, I don't care. I said back in 1992 when they divided up into divisions, you know, if you want to play – teams that are out of conference for a rivalry, that's fine, but don't have them count in the – in other words, don't tell me I have to win my division to get to Atlanta and then put other teams in there that aren't in my division to count against me. If you want to keep them for rivalry, fine. If you want to keep them for strength of schedule, that's even better. But they shouldn't count in the standings. And I said this back in 1992 when Tennessee was on the way up and the other team was on the way down. I just thought, you know, you're kind of doing double jeopardy. And I mean, it doesn't bother me to lose, you know, rivalry games because new rivalries will always, you know, they'll always start. And, you know, in the ordinary scheme of things, the two teams usually are fairly even. I mean, can you imagine if we had a year where Tennessee and the team from the landmass between Mississippi and Georgia both went to the SEC championship game and then, boom, they had a home and away the next year, two different revenge games.
I like it. That'd be very entertaining, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Do you feel this way because Tennessee is stinking it up and it'd be a little bit easier for Tennessee to get out of the hole?
Yeah, I've said this for years.
Got it.
Whatever is down eventually comes up and whatever is up eventually goes down. This just kind of speeds it up. But, no, I don't care about that. I mean, I've seen us in the 70s when we were not very good. And, you know, I've seen us when we were winning national titles, and now I see us not very good again.
So. Yeah, it's a cycle, man. Neil and Mafia, good stuff this morning. I really appreciate the phone call, man.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you, man. Oh, hey, I actually like the idea. I don't mind doing it.
The only aspect I don't like is getting rid of the Tennessee-Alabama game. I do agree that maybe we shouldn't count that game towards the division, but and I think Swain would agree with me on this. Being from Alabama, that game means a little bit more, and I would hate to see those two teams not playing every year.
I want to see it every year.
I've always been an advocate of getting rid of divisions altogether because specifically I really got on that train after Alabama totally took over the West because what you get every year – I guess finally Georgia is back up to around the level of Alabama. But what you were getting every year was Alabama winning the West and then someone in the East limping in there and getting their butt kicked from end to end. And And so I, since that really started happening, that's something I've wanted to see. It's worked well in basketball. And
from an SEC fan perspective, if I wasn't a Tennessee fan, I would not like that, because then your schools like Vanderbilt, Kentucky, the Mississippi schools probably never ever get a chance to play for an SEC championship.
True.
Or at least their odds go down. Their odds are much higher making the SEC championship game if there are divisions.
I mean, I wouldn't want to make a change just because of one's team's success or failures. I wouldn't want to say, okay, let's get rid of divisions because Alabama's so dominant. Because there's going to be a time and place where Alabama's not going to be dominant. Or let's do this tweak to make it a little bit easier for other people to compete against Alabama. I think if I had to make a choice today of what I would do, I would keep it the same. But I like Neil and Mafia's – like, I like his idea.
I like his idea.
I do. Yeah. I don't want to stop playing Alabama, though. I don't care if they're good or not. To me, man, that's your deepest, most storied rival for Tennessee. So I want to keep that. 865-200-5503. Hour 3, powered by Low T Center. LowTCenter.com.
Hour 3 of the Swain event is brought to you by the Low T Center and LowTCenter.com. Do you know your numbers? Feel like you again. Let us help.
JC's Tree and Landscaping Service specializes in quality tree work done at an affordable price. Trimming and removing trees are their specialty. They also offer other services like land clearing, stump grinding, crane services, and all of your basic landscaping needs for both commercial and residential. JC's will give you a free estimate and beat any written quote by a competitor to guarantee that you get the lowest price around. Don't risk your land with a fly-by-night service. JC's Tree and Landscaping is licensed and insured. Give them a call at 865-599-3799.
Insurance.
Nobody likes surprises, so switch to Erie Rate Lock. Get a great rate that stays that way, even after an accident, ticket, or inflation. In fact, it's locked until you change a car, driver, or your address.
Your Erie agent in Knoxville is InsureFit RM. Get a quote at 865-684-4900. That's 865-684-4900.
Erie Rate Lock does not guarantee continued insurance coverage and is not available in all states.
We're here with Dr. Mike Carlson of Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine. If you have orthopedic injuries such as shoulder pain, knee pain, or instability, Achilles tendonitis, golfers, or tennis elbow, do what I did and give them a call.
Yeah, Jason, we specialize in regenerative non-surgical orthopedics. So we treat damaged ligaments, tendons, and joints, including things like rotator cuff injuries, knee instability, elbow problems, as well as foot problems like plantar fasciitis, Achilles, things of that nature, by injecting with stem cells in what's called PRP, or platelet-rich plasma. And this form of treatment we do under ultrasound, so we know we have our target. And it also stimulates the body's own reparative process, and this allows for the healing of damaged tissue. And as you well know, I mean, numerous professional and collegiate athletes, guys like Steph Curry, Tiger Woods, and even yourself with your ankle injury, have been using this form of treatment for years. And so we offer that same type of treatment here in East Tennessee.
Visit them on the web at trsportsmedicine.com. Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine, East Tennessee's leader in regenerative therapy. We have all made the mistake of dropping or breaking our smartphones. See? But did you know that you can have it repaired for a fraction of the cost that it takes to replace it? Well, you can, because iDrop is the area's leading mobile repair store, home of the 1 hour or less phone repair, 1 year parts warranty, and number one customer service. Broken screens, cracked cameras, charging ports, batteries, you break it, we'll fix it. If you didn't break your phone, protect it with one of our leading accessories such as LifeProof, OtterBox, UAG, and Simplico, Caseology, and Spec. Visit our West Hills location at 7115 Kingston Pike, between Office Depot and Hardee's, or call 865-888-9740 and speak with our trained technicians to see how we can get your phone working today.
You're driving home, flashing blue lights in your rearview mirror. You pull over, step out of your car, and the next thing you know, you're being arrested for driving under the influence. Now what do you do? We all should be responsible. But remember, just because you're arrested doesn't mean you're guilty. Call criminal defense and DUI attorney Marcos Garza at 865-540-8300. The investigative teams at the Garza Law Firm know the justice system inside and out. They utilize cutting-edge technologies and investigative methods to prepare your specific case. Before you plead guilty to any criminal charges, call criminal defense and DUI attorney Marcos Garza. Put his number in your phone right now, 865-540-8300, because you never know when you or a friend will need it. Don't say guilty. Say Garza. 865-540-8300. 865-540-8300 and GarzaLaw.com.
At work? Can't call in? Don't feel bad. You can talk to the guys on the text box. It's part of the free Swain Event app.
All right, individuals, earlier during the show, we brought up Antonio Brown, but we had so much stuff to get to, we pushed it back. And so here's what's weird about Antonio Brown. This situation is kind of scary when you look at it from afar. Antonio Brown, Steelers wide receiver, is facing multiple lawsuits, including a troubling allegation that he threw furniture and other items from a 14th floor balcony at his home earlier this year in Florida. And he's being sued because a vase that he threw outside the window came within a few feet of a 22-month-year-old kid.
Would have killed the kid.
Yes, if it would have hit him. And so he threw like an ottoman and some other things out. And so he's being sued for that. The reason why he was so upset is because, you know, he has a residence there in Florida. He was gone for a couple of days, and when he left, the house was junky, okay? And then when he got back, the house was clean. So someone was in his house cleaning up, and it was the maids. It was the cleaning team or whatever. And he felt like he did not authorize that, but they felt like the cleaning team felt like it was authorized. And so they go in, they clean. The problem is $80,000 and a gun was missing when he returned, and he was pretty irate about it. And so that's why he was throwing stuff out and all that stuff, which is not an excuse. I'm just giving you a reason. And several other times he called the police. One time he called the police and reported that one of his expensive cars was missing.
Black Rolls Royce.
And then the police comes to the door, knock on the door, and he's like, oh, never mind, I found it, and tries to close the door on the police, and they're like, no, wait, no, you call the police, you gonna talk. And so just some really weird activity going on there with Antonio Brown, and I know the league is, they said they are monitoring his situation, but it's really hard to block out all those distractions off the field and be focused on the field in most cases. Maybe Antonio Brown can do it, but a lot of distractions for Antonio right now. And so you wonder if the pressure is going to be too much for him. And what's going to happen if you're the Steelers? I mean, it's your star receiver, man. And there's some troubling stuff going on with Antonio Brown.
And then there's also the whole situation of him calling a longtime Steelers beat reporter a clown, accusing him of making S-word up. He then threatened another reporter for writing an unflattering profile of him. He's been grumpy all season long. And I mean, he didn't show up to work one day. And they can say that was for personal reasons. I don't buy that one bit. He was pissed off that they lost and that he wasn't getting the football. He didn't show up to work on Monday or Tuesday. Antonio Brown, like from a fan perspective, Antonio Brown is reaching Alex Rodriguez levels for me, to where A-Rod, I had to deal with him being a Yankee after he was caught cheating the game of baseball, a game that I love. And I have zero respect for any athlete, particularly in baseball, that has gotten caught using PhDs or steroids or whatnot. And so
PEDs,
not PhDs.
Charlie has PhDs.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, PEDs. Yeah, that's my performance-enhancing drug.
I still wanted him to do well because he played for my Yankees. And Antonio Brown is reaching the level of where I can't stand him personally. 2 years ago, I thought his little show and him jumping on the the goalpost and doing all these touchdown dances and doing the pelvic thrust. I thought all that was kind of funny and kind of cool, and it was a nice change of pace. And now it's like I really don't care for him as a person, because in my opinion, he's showing that he's not a good person, and it is hard for me to root for people like that, which is similar to how A-Rod was. And A-Rod has done a great job of cleaning his act up, but then he also plays for my Steelers, so I want him to do well so the team does well.
What I always wonder in a situation like this is that it seems like guys like Antonio Brown want to be liked, clearly, in some sense. I mean, you know, he's worried about Instagram likes or whatever you said. You said he takes pictures of the amount of likes that he gets. And like
On Snapchat, you can see how many people view your Snapchat story.
Yeah.
And it's like 600,000, 700,000, ridiculous numbers. And he'll like screenshot it and then post it.
Yeah. And so he clearly cares about, you know, being viewed, being liked.
What people think.
And what do you think, what goes through his head in terms of what people are thinking when he does stuff like this? I mean, you wouldn't get mad at a reporter for saying mean stuff about you unless you were worried about your image. And then he goes out and acts like a child, and he says, hey, don't say anything bad about me. Well, you're acting like a 12-year-old. What are we supposed to do? You know, be better if you don't want people to say this stuff about you. And I always wonder that. It's a mentality I don't really understand.
During my time not playing ball, so the last 11 years or so, when I get a chance to talk to guys who play in the league or they don't play in the league anymore, I'm always fascinated by how they change and people change around them once they got money overnight. And it's not that the person who gets the money always changes. Sometimes the people around you change, and they start acting different. Well, Antonio Brown, you got to think about it. He didn't have a relationship with his father. His father was probably one of the best Arena League players in history, and so he didn't have a relationship with his father. He was always underdog, and then he goes and he outworks everyone. He still works harder than probably anyone else in the league, and he has a success, and with success comes responsibility, and with money comes, you know, more problems, you know, more opportunities to get yourself in trouble. And you know, someone would probably ask, why does he have $8,000 in cash in his apartment? Because he can. He's a millionaire. You can do that. You can have cash, you know, in your house. He shouldn't be blamed for the cash being stolen. It's his house. No one should have stole it. I wonder if he is, like, at a point of his life and his career where he's, like, having a crisis. You know, I remember when Dave Chappelle, like, disappeared and went to, like, Africa after, you know, the Comedy Central offered a huge amount of money. He turned it down and just disappeared. I think the pressure of being famous and having all this money, and I think that stuff can weigh on you. And I think that's what maybe is happening right now. This lawsuit that is kind of hovering over his head, I'm pretty sure, like, it gets to him. Like, he is short fused. I don't know if I'm going to call him a bad person.
I'm at that point.
I don't,
maybe not a bad person, but he's not somebody if I had a kid, I don't want my kid looking up to Antonio Brown.
I mean, I understand that, but I'm not quick to call someone a bad person when they have things, like certain things going on in their life. I mean, when you have a guy make a mistake, you know, like someone on Twitter, I was saying how, you know, my daughter loves Steph Curry. And someone was like, well, what about that time he threw a mouthpiece in the game? What? So, you expect these guys to be perfect? You expect athletes to be different than you as a human being and not make mistakes? And no, I mean, you're supposed to teach your kids that we are flawed as humans, and at the end of the day, your parents should be your number one role model. If you have a a belief in a higher power, that should be your role model, not a celebrity. And so you take certain things from Steph Curry, you take certain things from maybe a role model, things they, you know, do, and you try to teach your child, like, hey, man, these guys are, you know, like Antonio Brown was too small, he was too slow, and he beat the odds because he outworked everyone. Drew Brees just broke the record. Like, he was too small, and, you know, he was too short, and he was hurt, and they drafted a quarterback, Phillip Rivers, and got rid of him, and he beat the odds. Like, that's what you teach your kids. I don't think you teach them, hey, be exactly like this person. Or, I mean, you got to spend time with your kids. You got to teach them what's good and what's bad. I think Antonio Brown, there are a lot of things you can use to, you know, kind of paint the story of what you need to be as an athlete and how you need to handle adversity. But I think Antonio Brown is just dealing with some problems because of his stature. And he's letting his personal stuff bleed over into his professional life because I think he has a short fuse right now. He's upset that he ain't getting the ball, even though he got a lot of balls against the Falcons. And then he was upset at the reporter. He does want to have a brand outside of football, which I understand that social media, you can do that now. So that way maybe you can have a career after playing ball. But he's in a rough spot right now. And, you know, all his friends and his teammates who are close to him, I think they're going to need to be really right there behind his back and alongside of him to make sure he makes it out because, man, you can truly have a midlife crisis in this sense, but you can really have a mid-career crisis where, like, you just lose your mind.
Kind of like a quarter-life crisis. I mean, he's at 25.
He's always been known to kind of have a hot head. That was kind of one of the reasons he was drafted so low coming out of college was because of some off-the-field issues such as having a short fuse, and he was able to handle it fairly well over the first 5, 6, 7 years of his career as he was really establishing himself as arguably the best receiver in the league. And now a lot of people view him as the best receiver in the league, and he has all these ridiculous sponsors from just great companies that are paying him a lot of money. I do think that maybe the money and the fame is really starting to get to him because now that short fuse is really coming back to haunt him. And
yeah,
you're seeing that in his professional life.
Yeah, money reveals who you really are as a person. And, again, I don't think Antonio Brown is a – I don't think he's a bad person. I have not gotten enough evidence to support that claim, but I do think he is going through a time in his life that that I think comes with the territory when you have all this money and all this fame, and maybe you do have that short fuse. I mean, you gotta be somewhat crazy to play football anyways at that level. you gotta have a short fuse sometimes. You gotta be upset to be as fearless as Antonio Brown is, who was small, who doesn't care about going across the middle, doesn't care about catching balls, high pointing the balls across the middle. He's gotten popped a couple times. Remember a couple years ago by the Bengals. So, I mean, you got to be somewhat crazy. And I think Antonio Brown's going through, a really rough time right now. I don't know if he intended to throw the vase and hit a child.
No, I doubt he did.
But, my goodness, he threw a vase. And
he would be in jail right now.
He didn't think about, hey, there might be people below who may get hit by this stuff.
I mean, he just needs someone in his life who he trusts. I don't know if he even has somebody like that or who it would be. But to sit him down and say, hey, you're going down a road that if you don't stop having a career after football – is going to become really tough because you're going to grow this reputation as a total hothead, as somebody that's hard to work with, as somebody that is just confrontational all the time, someone who will do dumb things without thinking. And that's a nightmare for an employer. Why would you want, you know, if it comes down to maybe he wants to do TV, who would want to hire a dude like that? You know, he's going to be a nightmare to work with, and you got 100 other guys from the league that want to do TV too, who would take that spot. And so I think he's coming to a point where he needs to have somebody like sit him down and say, hey, for the sake of the rest of your life, you got to cool it.
Hey, man,
with whatever's going on.
Randy Moss made it, and he had some real tough time.
Yeah, problems for sure.
I mean, he bumped the officer with his car. Yeah, had some issues there. Chris Carter had a huge drug problem when he was originally with the Philadelphia Eagles. Mm-hmm. And remember his Hall of Fame speech, he shot out Reggie White as a teammate of his that helped him get back on track. Chris Carter had a huge cocaine problem before he was cut by Buddy Ryan with the Eagles, gets on with the Vikings and turns his life around and actually mentors Randy Moss. So, you know, you can bounce back, you know, Antonio Brown can bounce back, but it's going to take some good people around him. And so that is what's going on with Antonio Brown right now. And he's one of the faces of the league. So it's definitely a reason to be concerned if you are the NFL. All right, going to the text box before we wrap up today. Nacho says, sounds like Brown has a pill problem to me. Well, I don't know, maybe. Vol in Birmingham, why is he not in a house in Florida away from other people? Why is he not in a house in Florida away from other people? Makes no sense to me.
He does. I know for just because I follow him on Snapchat, I know he has a humongous house in Florida, mm-hmm. in the Miami area. So maybe he has another apartment in, I don't know. It's weird.
Those guys, you know, they get different properties. I mean, you can only live in one place. You can only have, you know, it can only drive one car at one time. But, hey, it's not out the ordinary that these guys have different properties. And, you know, you never know what they're going to do as far as real estate investments and things like that when they're done playing. But, let's see. Moose says, Swain, is it me or is the offense really blah and boring, like Les Miles, LSU boring? Really hope at some point we can see more creativity. No, it ain't just you. It is, no, it is boring.
Yeah.
It is boring.
They haven't done a good job of being inventive, of trying to find ways to circumvent the problems that this offense has.
Utilize a talented quarterback.
Yeah. They need to step it up. That just is what it is. And – you know, I say that, hey, Tyson Helton, if you're listening, step it up.
Yeah.
Or whoever is calling all those plays.
Mailman Dave on the text box, shoot me an email, and I'll try to answer that question for you the best way I can. Mailman Dave, email. Go to the app or the website, and there's a way you can communicate and email. So give me an email, and I'll try to get that answer for you. For Ben McKee and Charlie Burris, from Jason Swain, hope you have a fantastic day. It is supposed to be raining maybe today.
Looks like it is.
For the most part. So please be careful in your travels, and we will hear you back here Friday morning, 7 a.m. Swain Events, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, Hour 3, powered by Low T Center and LowTCenter.com. Have a great day. Peace and love. We're out.